Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Awesome, guys. If you're ready for the word, can you declare out loud, today my heart is open. My ears are alert to grow and change and never be the same. Amen. Excellent. Take your seats. Looking forward to today's message. God put this on my heart a fair few weeks ago, actually, and I just got this one word, stand. And I've just been having to unpack this for a few weeks to get to today's message. But before I start, I just want to say how much I love being a father. And I think Father's Day is an amazing day because in our house, it's all about me. And I think that that's always a good start to the morning. And I love being a father. Now, no one has really said anything to me of late, and I don't know what to take of it, but I've been doing gym for a while. And I'm pretty much a gym junkie at the moment. I've even got a personal trainer, an amazing man. And everyone knows that he does gym, but I don't know why no one's ever said anything about me. But I suppose the fruit will show in time. And I can't wait for that time. You know, the reason why I love being a man is because our true strength isn't in our muscles. Thank goodness. Because we aren't funny until we are, then we're really funny. My family calls me accidentally funny. We can laugh at the punchline before the joke even gets told. I love being a man because we talk through silence. Isn't that true? I talk all the time to my wife. She just doesn't hear it. We don't need instructions. We put the playground together out in the on the dirt out there. It's one day going to be a playground. That's our vision. And we got it together. It just took a week and we did it two or three times, but we got it. We didn't need instructions. When we feel lazy, the world at home seems to stop. Does anyone else feel like that? Whenever I'm lazy at home, it's like the whole world seems to stop. But then when I'm all in, we get told to slow down. Is any other man in the house like that? We're all in. It's just, why don't you just back down? You know, you're building the church every single day. You know, you need time off. So some people even say and have said to me, and maybe they have to you as well, they say crazy things. I think there's a lot of crazy people in this world that say a lot of crazy things. And one of them I remember at a time where someone wasn't very happy with me. So they said, Graham, you're not a man at all. They were pretty serious. And I didn't know, I thought they were trying to say a dad's joke, but it was actually a woman that said it. And so I couldn't work out what was happening. And the truth is it didn't affect me, but I think many men here today have probably been told that at some point. And so I want to talk about this today. You know, Glenn Stanton from Focus on the Family, he says, if we did not all have a general idea that manhood is a definite and distinct thing, the statement, he is not a man, would have little meaning. But it has immediate meaning, and we take it as strong rebuke upon a person. And so I want to speak to the men today on Father's Day. And if you're a woman or a lady in the house, don't tune out. It's good for you to see, you know, a man's life. But also you'll be able to apply a lot of today's message into your world. And when people say this kind of thing, when they call us, you know, when they say to you, you're not a man, the truth is that they're really talking about your character or their let down perspective of what a man should be. But you are a man, trust me. You are a man. You know, this statement for me, it didn't shape my life when I heard this at time. And that's because I am a man. And no one can tell me I'm not. So the truth is today, and I want to speak over all the men, that you are a man. In fact, I want to prophesy that you are a man of God. That you are a man of God. So today, I'm not going to talk about character or what people's view of manhood should be. I want to talk to us about our design this morning. Is that good? I'm going to talk to you and I, men, about our design. So today I've called the message, When Men Stand and Withstand. When men stand and withstand. Now, throughout Scripture, God used both men and women for amazing things. However, there was a definite responsibility upon a man to stand and withstand. These men in Scripture are called men of God. When you study out your Bible, you'll see that these men are always called men of God. Joshua in Scripture was one of these men of God. See, after Moses, Joshua came and he led Israel through the Jordan into the Promised Land. So Joshua was Moses's 2YC, second in charge. And when Moses died, he got to lead Israel into the Promised Land. And God said this to Joshua in Joshua 1:5. He said, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you and never forsake you." That's a good word right there for a man of God. Many people and communities and kings did come against Joshua though. And so some people can get confused about this scripture. What does God mean that people will never stand against him when people actually did? See, the thing is they weren't ever really standing against Joshua. They were standing against God in Joshua, what Joshua stood for and what he was known for. He was known for a man of God. It's God in us that qualifies us. It was God that was in the man of God in the Bible that qualified them to be man of God. Joshua wasn't known for what or who he was against, but what and who he was for. See, throughout all the region, everyone knew who Joshua's God was. They had heard the stories of old, the stories from Egypt. You know, the Old Testament always refers back to the God that led Israel out of Egypt. They all heard the stories of Israel going against any nation or any army, any peoples, and that God would fight the God for them. And when Joshua took his place in his house, when you take your place in your house, people aren't against you, or they shouldn't be against you. They should be against the God within you. They should be against the God that stands beside you and walks with you in every decision. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And here it is in verse 13. It says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, man, we stand, because we have the armor of God." See, life isn't about being against evil. I'm not against evil. It's about standing for the things of God. And that pushes back evil. And see the difference here. We are called to stand as men. See, the book of 1 Samuel says that the battle belongs to the Lord. It's never our battle. We don't fight with muscles. Thank God, we don't fight with fists, but we fight through the armor of God being on our lives and we standing in God and who he is. Joshua was clear that he stood for the things of God. And although people came against Joshua and his leadership, they came really against what he stood for and who he stood for. So I want to talk right now is how we stand. How do we stand? Well, first of all, we put on the armor of God. In verse 13, it said, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. In other words, the full armor of God. This is what it means. Ready? To stand for truth, because that's the belt. To stand for righteousness, because that's the breastplate. To stand for peace, because that's our shoes. To stand for our faith, because that's our shield. To stand for the word of God, because that's our helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit. These are the armor of God. To put on the armor of God is to stand for these things in our world, in our families, in our life, in our workplaces. We stand for this. This is our pushback on evil. Man, this is how we keep evil away from us, at arm's length from us. It does not affect our worlds because we stand for truth and righteousness, peace, faith, and the word of God in our lives. See, changing our way of thinking from what I'm against to what I'm for will change our behavior. I want to say that again. Changing our thinking in life from what I'm against to what I'm for will change your behavior. This is something that I've done so much in my life. I've been working really hard, actually, on this one, you know, for a number of years now, is changing what I'm against. And that's why I don't post much on social media. And the reason why is not because I'm against social media, I'm not, but I'm a negative processor. So I think the negative first. I think about what I'm against in this world first. And that's my first response. That's my first way of thinking. But the Bible says to take every thought into captivity. And so I don't post, because if I quickly jump on and post, it'll just be negativity. It'll be everything I'm against with COVID. It'll be everything that I'm against in the church world. It's everything that I'm against in society or in the governments. But I don't want the world to know what I'm against. I want them to know what I'm for. So therefore, it's good to be patient. Slow to speak, quick to hear. And so when we adapt this, it will change your behavior. It'll change your response in your marriage. It'll change your response with your kids. When they come and they do something that you've asked them not to do, you don't quickly jump out there because you're against the behavior that they've just done. But what you'll do is you'll be patient, get your mind and your heart and your spirit man right, and say, God, would you tell me and show me right now what to say to my child, because I want them to know that was not okay, because we stand for this in our family. Not we're stand. When you talk about what you stand against, all you're ever talking about is the negative. So therefore, your kids or your wife or your family dynamic will be focused on the negative. Therefore, you'll always talk about the negative as though the negative's bad and we need the positive, but the positive isn't on our lips or in our heart. And what's in the heart is what will come out. So why are our kids not changing? Because we discipline on the negative all the time instead of what we are for. The reason why we don't do that in our house, the reason why we don't have internet on our kids' devices in our house, is there's a lot of bad things out there, and we want to be strong men and women of God, and God has a call on your life and he wants to do something amazing, and the last thing we want is for that to take up our brain space because we saw something we shouldn't have seen. So you're an amazing son. You're an amazing daughter. And I want you to know that you will be everything that God has called you to. And to help you do that, we're just going to put some boundaries around your world. Can you see what I'm saying? So they're focused on what we're for. We can do this in our family marriage dynamic with our wives, you know, when we're arguing and she's right. She's right. And that's one thing you can focus on, because that'll help us behave better. So this is our pushback on evil. Not that your wife's evil. Very close. I'm walking the line. Happy Father's Day! So it will help us change our behavior. Men of God in your home, in your friendships, in your workplaces, and in your church, be known for what you're for and not what you are against, okay? Awesome. You know, the trouble with being against things is there's always a person on the other side. There's always a person on the other side of that government policy. There's always a person on the other side of who's made the best cure for COVID. Yeah, there's always a person on the other side of that argument or that issue. And we are called to love the person, but not necessarily agree with the behaviour. And so when we are against things all the time, we need to remember, especially as Christians, that there's someone beautiful, someone fearfully and wonderfully made, and 9 times out of 10, they're doing their best. They might be wrong 9 times out of 10, but we aren't going out there telling the world that we are against that, because we're saying we're against them and what they do with their world and their decision making. But the truth is we love them. They're a child of God, and we want them to come to a church somewhere here in Australia and give their hearts to the living God, but what they're doing is not the way that lines up with the Bible right now. So it's not what we are against, it's what we are for. The trouble with being against things is the call to love the person and not the action should overcome the need for us to express our feelings. Let me say that again. Our call to love people should be greater in our world than the need for us to express feelings. Now, I love this because the Bible says that God puts everybody in place. That, Mel and I, we're here as the pastors of this church because God called us. That's pretty much what qualifies us. You know, our government is there in place because God calls them. The good and the bad. You know, the Bible says that he puts people in place. And, you know, when we speak against, what we are really doing is undermining what God has put in place. And I think that our love for people in general should be greater in our world than our desire or our need to post our opinions or to speak our opinions. So whenever we come up to standing, there is also a withstand. Whenever you stand, you will find that you have to withstand. So the word withstand means to remain undamaged or unaffected by, and to resist. Let me say that again. The word withstand means to remain undamaged or unaffected. That's huge. And to resist. I find this is where it actually gets hard. We do our best to live by the word of God, but withstanding and resisting is actually really hard. Don't lift your hand, but does anyone else feel like that? The ability to be able to resist is actually really hard. So how do we withstand? Here's the answer straight up, is we submit. Not to life, but we submit to God. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit. We submit to God and we resist the desire. In other words, we don't resist the desire without first submitting to God. I've been trying this in my world lately with great results, I might say. Is saying, God, right now I feel this temptation. I want to say that thing. I want to outwork that thought in my mind. But God, I submit to you. Right now I submit this thought, first of all, to you. I submit my power because it's not my strength, thank God, that will get me through this. I submit my manhood. My desire to fix everything and make everything better. I submit, and now, God, with your strength, I resist. Wow. I resist. Because to be honest, I don't know if anyone else is like this, I used to just go, you know what, I'm a Christian, I'm all good, I'm super holy, so I'll just go throughout my day resisting with minimal results. And what I found, it's a little bit like forgiveness. It's not about one time submitting for all. You don't forgive somebody and never have to forgive them. Yeah, that's not how forgiveness works. So forgiveness is a daily choice, a momentary choice. That sometimes forgiveness is a journey and you have to continue to forgive that person of the same thing, not because of the person, but because of us, because we are on that journey of forgiveness. And submitting is the same. I've submitted my life to God, but every time I come against resistance or things in my world that want to take me off course, I have to continually submit my life, submit my thoughts, submit my actions. And this is how I become a man of God. And this gives me the power to resist the enemy and to resist the things that will try and take me out. 1 Timothy 6:11, it's not on the screen, but it says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee or resist these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." See, we resist and we pursue or submit to what is righteous, to what is godly, to faith and love, steadfastness and gentleness. So withstanding is when we resist. And standing is our submitting. It's our submit. So do you want to know some of the results when we can start to live this in our lives? Would you like to know this morning some of the results of living like this? So some of the results when we learn how to stand and to withstand with Jesus in our lives. This is the result, and I want to prophesy this over the men here this morning. I want you to allow God for just a moment speak into your world. This is the result when we live as a man of God. We are strong but not violent. We are gentle but not weak. We are encouragers, not exasperators. We secure enough to serve rather than needing to be served. We lead instead of Lord. We choose love over lust. Commitment over comfort. We choose the real deal instead of cheap thrills. We are men who empower instead of suppress. Men who build up instead of break down. Who are protectors and not adversaries. Who are self-sacrificing rather than self-centered. Who defend and not demean. Whose lives are in godly order instead of disorder. Men who learn how to tend to the heart rather than just fix the problem. Who lead their family with strength and not stress. Men who care more about being a powerful man of God than a man of power. Men who stand up rather than just bow out. Men who are more passionate about the scriptures than they are about the scores. Who demonstrate the fruit of the Holy Spirit and not just the fruits of too many glasses of spirits. Men of God who stand for and not stand against. Men of God who aren't easily offended but withstand. We are men who stand and withstand. Amen. And I prophesy that over every man in this place today. Now, here's the news. We all fall short of this. My hands up. We have all failed at this list at many times, if not just this morning, because we're a man. But thank God when we are weak, He is strong. Amen. Men of God, continue to get back at it. This is one of the greatest revelations I had. Someone said to me that sin has never overtaken you or has the last say in your life until you stop trying to overcome it. And I love that saying. I love that thought. You know, in my life, there's been things that I've tried to overcome as a man. You know, attitudes when we first got married, I wasn't the man I am today. Trust me. You know, I had many, many, many issues. You know, I didn't know what love was. I didn't know how to respect a wife, you know, or women, to be honest, in general. I had many issues. My language was bogan, and, you know, anything I said, you know, came out the opposite to what it meant. And you know, I had my own issues. But I knew I heard it somewhere, or someone said, but somehow I just knew to never, ever give up. and the day I give up is the day I'll be overcome. Man, can I speak into your world that you aren't defined by your struggles, you aren't defined by what's in your mind, you aren't defined by the things you've seen or what the enemy, you know, the enemy, the mind is a playground for the enemy. You know, the mind is the place where the enemy just plants things. And as a man, that gives you the feeling that you aren't a man of all. And if someone's ever spoken that over your life, those words will really quickly come back to you, that you aren't a man. But I want to say to you today, you are a man. In fact, you are a man of God. And those thoughts have no power if you look at those thoughts and you say, God, I submit to you. Would you strengthen me right now? And then you resist. But the day you stop resisting is the day that they will overcome. But the thoughts, the enemy has power and authority given to him to put thoughts in our minds. But that does not define who we are. Why? Because you're a man of God. And it's when you act on the thought that your action upon that thought gets outworked into sin. But if we learn how to resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee. He will flee. Do you believe that today in this place? You believe that? He will flee. Man, you are not defined by these things. I don't care what anyone said. They need healing. Okay, but you are a mighty, mighty man of God in this place today. So, man, we stand for the things of God, and God strengthens us to withstand. We stand and we withstand. I believe that we can all stay the journey of being men or women of God here today by standing and withstanding. Do you receive that today? It's a good word over us in our lives. Can we give God a hand of praise? He is our strength. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Well, that's going to wrap up today's service. But before we just move on and we go outside and have a great time together, you know, you might be in this place and you're just thinking, you know, it's time in my life that I actually do make a stand. And you may be any generation, male, female, doesn't matter. And you've never given your heart to God. And you've just been listening to this and you're like, you know what? I've been just talking about the things I'm against and in life, or whether it be in the church or in your own world. And today you're just having this new understanding that it's not about what you're against, it's what you're standing for. And today you're hearing this and you're thinking, you know what? I actually need to make a stand in my life and I need to accept Jesus into my life. And if you've never done that, I just want to give you a quick opportunity. So could we all just close our eyes in honor of this moment? And if that's you this morning, I'm just going to ask you to be bold. I'm not going to embarrass anyone or call you out the front or anything, but I do want to pray with you this morning. And if you want to make a stand in your world and you like, man, my life is this, but for my future, for my kids, for my family, my future family, I want my life to have substance and meaning. And I want my kids, I want myself, I want my family to know what it is to be a child of God. He created you. He loves you unconditionally. How good is that? Unconditionally. And he wants to help you make a great stand in your world. And so if that's you this morning, every eye is closed, would you just boldly lift your hand right now? Just so I can see your hand, and I'm just going to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Just going to look one more time, and if that's you this morning, just be real bold. The greatest moment of your life. Awesome. This is what I would love to do right now. Could we all just stand to our feet? Alexander Hamilton said these words. He said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And what I'd love to do right now is I just want to pray a blessing over us as a church. That as we go out into our life from here today, in our conversations, that the Holy Spirit would remind us of things, you know, when we start talking about the things that we're against in life, that he'll just remind us and give us that opportunity just to readjust before our next sentence or before our next conversation. And who wants to go on a journey with me this morning of practicing out this lifestyle? You know, making known in this world, when you die, people will say at your funeral, hopefully Jesus comes back before then, but people will say at your funeral, what an amazing man, what an amazing woman of God, you know, and we know clearly what they stood for in their life. You know, that they'll be able to talk about the faith you speak into people, the hope you speak into people, and negative words, negative processing is not what comes to our mind when we're there on that amazing day when you're glorified in heaven. Wouldn't that be amazing, hey? To be known what you stand for. Why don't we close our eyes, lift our hands. Father, I just want to thank you for this amazing church, City Point North. Father, we are your people. We submit to you right now. Father, we submit and just in simply knowing we aren't perfect. And without you, we're just sinners that just sin and we just enjoy that. But with you, we are more than conquerors. We have something to stand for in our life. We have a purpose. We have vision for life. And with you, we can resist the devil and he will flee. Our power and our authority is found in you. So God, we submit our lives right now. And over this church, I just pray a blessing that, Father, as we all take this step to move forward in this area, Lord God, that the men here today would be known as mighty men of God, and the women here today would be known as mighty women of God, because the world knows what we stand for and who we stand for. In Jesus' mighty name, we all said, amen, amen. Amen. Awesome. Hey, we're going to go out.